I've joined virtually and by phone. Can we confirm that Tracy and Chase and Seamus have joined us?
Chase is on.
Tracy's on.
Thank you, thank you.
Seamus is here.
Seamus is here. Okay, so everybody's here when you're ready, Mr. Chair.
All right. All right, we're coming back into session. And we are now at step eight. So we'll go through the little script.
Yes.
Are we missing something?
Nope.
Okay.
You're good.
Look, this is tied there for a second. All right, so it is now 10:04 a.m. on January the 19th, 2024. Let me try to get that perfect there. This is the time and place scheduled for the board's review of Casey's schedule for an informal interview pursuant to ARS 32573. My name is Board Chairman Gary Begley. The other board members will now introduce themselves and indicate whether they are a public member or a professional member. Brandy, would you be in, please?
Sure, Brandy Florence, public member.
Tristan Clark Glover, public member.
Marshall Knox, Vice Chair, professional member.
Brandon McFadden, professional performer.
Nick Goodman, public member.
Chase.
Chase Turrentine, public member.
Yep. JP.
Tracy Wilkinson, professional member.
Thank you. Also present on the board's executive director, Frank McGolly, at the board's attorney, Seamus Monahan, from the Arizona Attorney General's Office. When you gave this call, unmute your phone by pressing star six. Please be aware that we have read all the materials submitted. In order to give everyone the same opportunity to address the board, we ask that those speaking not take time repeating information the board has already received. You and your legal counsel, if applicable, collectively will be given time to address the board equal to the time it took to present the investigative report for 5 minutes, whichever is greater. The board has a civility policy and we request that all participants conduct themselves in a professional manner. Once the board concludes the discussion with all the parties, it will move into deliberations. While the parties are free to stay and to listen to the deliberations, we ask that you respect the fact we are now discussing the case amongst ourselves and request that you not interrupt the process. This time, I'll swear in our staff members who will be testifying today. For the following compliance team members, please stand and raise your right hand. Rosa Rodriguez, Helen Bordelon, Lisa Chavez, Keegan McConnell, Alexandra Hill, and Kathy Bergeron. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you will give, if you're about to give, was the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do, Helen Rodriguez, compliance administrator.
I do, Kathy Bergeron, investigator.
I do, Helen Bordelon, investigator.
I do, Alexandra Hill, investigator.
I do, Lisa Chavez, investigator.
I do, Keegan McConnell, investigators.
You have the time. Before we begin, I want to advise everyone that the proceeding is being recorded. Accordingly, it is important that everyone speaks loudly and clearly, and that only one person speaks at that time. To ensure we have an accurate record, please say your name each time before speaking. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of the case and to decide the outcome. The licensees have received a notice informing them of the matters to be discussed today, the process for the informal interview, and the possible actions the board may take. All right, so that brings us up to our first case. So let's find that. All right, so let's drop down to A. Our case number 98298, Turning Point Beauty College.
That's it, continuous case for the study informal interview.
I just wanted to speak that. Thank you. All right, so then our first case in section B is case number 98347, Laura Halliburton, license number 3220567. Oh, I'm sorry, you're correct. You should have done that.
Rosa Rodriguez, compliance administrator, step two. B, informal interview with negotiation option. Of the following respondents will be attending in person or participating virtually. Number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16. Number 17, 18, and 19 are unresolved. 20 negotiated. 21 unresolved. 22 negotiated. 23 unresolved. 24, 25, and 26 continue to the February 14th.
All right, now let's go back to case number 98247, Laura Halliburton, license number 3220567. Star 6, if you're online.
I'm here, Laura Halliburton.
All right, Laura, let's swear you in before we get started, then we'll come back. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you gave today will be truthful, and state your name, please?
Yes, my name is Laura Halliburton, and I swear to be truthful.
Thank you. Will the staff please give us a brief summary of the case and introduce yourself?
Good morning, Mr. Begley and members of the board. My name is Kathy Bergeron. On June 22nd, 2023, I conducted an inspection of the salon. And I spoke with the owner, Ms. Halliburton. During the inspection, I identified violations working with unlicensed establishment. I found no sanitation issues. I verified the salon establishment license on the board database and determined that there was an application and approved and will expire September 22 of 2024. I provided the license with the inspection report and educated the board review. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to address them.
All right, and you already stated this, but for clarification, everything was okay except for the license.
Right.
Okay. So, Ms. Halliburton, can you explain your side of this?
I did not have my establishment license. I do now. My previous experience being in a salon suite was in California, and it was years ago. And at the time, the owner of the entire building was who held the establishment license. Moving to Arizona, I did not know that it had changed, and it was my responsibility to look into that. So I take responsibility for not having one. I have since got one, and I am just asking for any leniency, if any, on the matter. And yeah, I didn't know.
Okay. And you mentioned, Peter, you mentioned that the license had been issued.
Yes.
Yeah. President, this is board member Goodman. I have a question for the licensee. When you rented the suite, did they happen to mention it?
They did not.
You needed your own?
No, they did not. The only thing that I did get, that I was told to get, was a TPT license, which that was new for me as well. So I acquired a TPT license and my business license, but I knew nothing about an establishment license.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions from the board?
Tracy Wilkinson here. So you had worked and rented in California, and how long was it before you moved here, and when did you get reciprocity?
I got reciprocity in 2022 is when I moved here. And then when I was in a Sola salon previously, it was in California in 2014 or 15.
Any other questions?
I'm good, thank you.
Do we have any discussion of this matter? We'll move into deliberations at this point. Any discussion?
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, it seems like this is one of those situations which for the most part has been well addressed about salon suites not realizing that they need to be licensed. We've seen very few of these cases, and I think the explanation is satisfactory in that the licensee was not intending to run an unlicensed establishment, which is otherwise clean and in order. So, you know, my recommendation, if we're at the point of motion, would be to either dismiss the case or a non-disciplinary letter of concern. Either way, $500 fine seems excessive in this instance with these circumstances.
So are you motioning for?
Are we at the point where I'm able to make a motion?
Absolutely.
Okay, Brady Flores makes a motion to, I would say, dismiss case number 98347, Laura Halliburton, number 3220567.
This is Chase, I second.
Yeah, we have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Nay.
Nay.
Goodman.
Nay. It's Tracy Mayfield. Sir, welcome.
Thank you, Jason. All right, so by majority, we agreed to dismiss this case. You were correct in what you did. Absolutely, no question.
Thank you so much.
Ms. Halliburton, yeah, just pay attention and watch the numbers. Make sure next year we're not seeing you again, okay?
Okay, absolutely. Thank you.
Good luck in your business.
Thank you.
We move to our next case, number 98395, Nails and Spa by Cindy, SNP 18522. Nails and Spa by Cindy LLC is the owner. Mary Nguyen, license number 51700114 is the member. I did. Star Sticks, if you're, oh, you're here.
I'm here.
Please come up. Yes, come up by that chair and raise your right hand. You swear from the testimony you give today will be truthful?
I swear.
And then state your name.
Mary Nguyen.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, for the record, we do have an LLC attestation form on file for this case.
Excellent. We'll have the investigator talk about it first.
Okay.
We'll ask her questions. We'll come to you.
Okay.
Good. Good.
And Martin, Mr. Bagley, members of the board. My name is Cass Bergeron. On June or July 20th, 19 or 2023, I conducted the inspection of Nails and Spa by Cindy for the owner, Ms. Nguyen. During the inspection, I identified the health and safety sanitation violation. I found youth nail files and buffers, and I also found a dog inside the salon. I did not see any dog service papers posted on the premises. You will see in the photograph attached to the report. I provided the license aid with the inspection report and educated them before leaving. Any questions? Well, happy to.
The board have any questions?
I have a question. What dog service papers were you anticipating? I was under the impression that dog service dogs aren't required to have any sort of formal paperwork.
Some have like some service papers, and the most places I've gone to has like the service papers on the wall.
Who would be issuer of service papers? I don't think there are service papers for service dogs. I guess that's my question.
Do we have a board position?
I was going to say, I believe the standard is supposed to be you're permitted to ask, is this a service animal, and is the animal specially trained to meet, you know, that need, or is the animal specially trained, and it has to be a dog or a small horse or something like that.
Right. Jace, is there also a requirement for some sort of documentation?
I don't believe so. Again, this is I can pull up the law real quick, but I don't believe so.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, pursuant to Arizona Administrative Code, sorry, I'm trying to find the right citation there. R410.112, no animals. It says only fish in aquariums and service animals are allowed in the establishment.
Right.
No, I completely understand that. I just want to make sure inspectors aren't asking for papers for a service dog, because there are not, there is no entity that is a recognized service paper dog or service service dog paper issuer that is required in disability law. So it's important that we are compliant.
That makes sense. Do we need a ruling on this of some sort that we make sure, or we already have that? Seamus?
Tracy Wilkinson here. Yeah, we need to know whether service animals are allowed or not, and if there is licensing for that.
All right, so here's the statute. That a dog or miniature horse, remembered that properly, that is individually trained or in training to do work, perform tasks for the benefit of the individual with a disability, including physical, sensory, psychiatric, intellectual, or mental disability. Service animal does not include any other species, whether wild, domesticated, or trained or untrained. It's also important to know that emotional support animals aren't necessarily qualified in that degree, but the only thing you're permitted to ask is whether or not, in line with the statute, whether or not it is an individually trained or in training to do the work to perform the tasks for the individual with a disability. So is it a service animal and is it trained to do that?
This is AG Seamus Monahan. And where is that statute coming from?
ARS 11-1024. And then
I just
want guidance around other guidance around it from other legal things that I've done. But
okay, thank you, and I appreciate that. I just want to make sure that we're not trying to interpret a statute or impose a statute that's not part of Title 32. We don't have the authority to impose any statute under Title 11.
But it all makes sense. The only reason I brought up the way I did, because I don't doubt Chase and Randy at all. But we run into this every so often, and we're always sort of running through the mud. So if we could have something that was written down that we could always refer to from the Attorney General's office, that would be really handy.
Yeah, I'd be happy to look into it for you.
Thank you. I think my main concern, regardless of the issue, is that in the inspection report, it says the dog doesn't have paper to be a service dog, which I think puts the board at risk in terms of asking for paper. That there is no issuer of service dog papers. We need to make sure that kind of content isn't asked for or put in writing.
So Seamus, you're going to write us up something about that so we have a standard that we don't have to ask this question again?
Well, yeah, I'll look into it, and then you can review what I give you back, and if you have more questions, we can take it from there.
Thank you. So in today's world, we jump to the conclusion. So the service dog, I don't know if you ever said that. Would you like to tell us more about this dog?
Right. So good morning, board and staff. I'm here to not to necessarily defend any of the violations that Ms. Kathy brought up. They were valid, but I think the bigger picture is what Randy was trying to address is we don't want, as a board and also community, to somehow portray this in a different light. And so, like I said, I think the way that Ms. Kathy had reported my dog in the salon was a little bit, just one-way situation. So I just wanted to present myself today to kind of open this discussion and make sure that, the board does have a clear understanding that when it comes to service animals, I believe that through my research, you're not supposed to be requiring papers or ask for papers in a certain way that you go about it. And I just don't want us as a community to go about that the wrong way. Yes, my dog was present. She is not a service animal. It just happened to be that day. I didn't have a dog sitter, and so I brought her people to the salon, and my parents were supposed to pick her up. So, that is my fault. I take full accountability for that. I understand she is not supposed to be there. But in the other side of the situation, I think it brought up, another issue, which is, what happens if there was a service dog in my salon and she didn't have papers and she was not labeled and a customer walked in with her? What am I supposed to do as an owner of my business? Am I allowed to ask? So I think also from my perspective, I do need some guidelines or some kind of insight on what I can do as a business owner when I come into a situation like that.
I apologize to the respondent. I just want to point out the board cannot provide you advice or guidance on this matter. You'll need to hire an attorney or figure that out on your own. Thank you.
Okay. Which is fine, you know, that's what I did not. So I was also trying to ask Ms. Chansky about that day. It's like, in the event that happens, like, what do I do? And I understand maybe she was not in that position. So I just needed more, you know, direction as to where to go about this. And then also in the future, if this was to happen again with the board, like, we have a little bit of a clear guideline as to, like, okay, like, you can or cannot ask, or I don't know what, you know, that's more research for me to do. So that's all I wanted to, like, kind of bring up.
And we really appreciate that. And I am in agreement with you. I would like to see us not only define it for ourselves so we know where we are, but this would make a great frequently asked question entry on the web page. Because it does come up and each time we're looking at each other, absolutely yeah. Wait to say, but
right. And I don't mind being the example, you know, so that's why I came today, not so much to like question anybody here, yeah. But it's just like we need more clarification on things like this, because when it comes with people with disability, there are a lot of rules and laws regarding that, and we just don't want to violate any of their rights.
Yeah, and I think it's a good example of the board working with the community. So I do appreciate you.
Okay.
Do we have any other questions from the board about anything to do with the states?
Tracy Wilkinson here. What was the cleanliness issue?
Yep. Can you tell us about
there was
no. I believe I can't remember it so long ago, but I believe I told the captain that it was one of my employees. She had a box of filers and buffers that, you know, was in a box that seemed used. To her defense, she told me that those were brand new chemicaler like files or whatever it is. So she's like, you know, she keeps them close at hand. She doesn't like to like leave them around the shop because she doesn't want anybody else to use them. And I, you know, I told her like we need to make sure you keep it covered. I understand that there's sanitation rules when it comes to used and unused. Like you guys could be kept in a dirty box if they've been used and if they're or to be disinfected or whatnot. And then if they're new, they need to be in a box that, you know, labeled like new or ready to use. So I understand that from an owner perspective, but that day, I believe my employee, she was probably not as on top of her procedures when it came to sanitation. But she did claim that those were clean and that they're new and that, you know, she just had them there in that box.
Okay. We have any other questions?
No.
So from here?
Sorry, just to say, I just want to say, like, through these violations, I understand that as an owner, I need to be more on top of the procedures, not only within my salon, but also with my employees.
Right. Well, it sounds like you're doing a pretty good job. So, a couple things here and there. Do you have anything else you would like to ask? Okay. Do we have any motion in this matter?
Thank you. Anyone? I move that we accept the findings of the facts and conclusions of law.
Should we make a ruling on it since we're unclear about the service animal aspect of it? Either hold it over till next meeting, or are the other factors, because if we're accepting conclusions of law, we're making a statement about the finding right. On the service animal. So
yeah, in this case we have two steps with the sanitation issue, which she discussed, and the animal issue. The first step is just to agree this all happened. The second would be to look at if there was any kind of disciplinary action. And I agree with you. Okay. I suspect we'll be moving away from that. Anyway.
Mr. Chairman,
if we accept the conclusion of law, then we're accepting that the service animal was a violation. I'm wrong about that. No, right?
She said it wasn't a service animal.
Oh.
We were just having a conversation about what inspectors can and cannot do in terms of asking about service animals.
Points
got it.
All right. So we're at a point where we're going through the first step, and we have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Is anyone opposed to that first step? Okay, so I guess unanimously we've had that. So is there a motion of discipline in this matter?
This is Goodman. I would move that we dismiss with the logic being clearly the lessons have been learned and the appropriate education's already happened just by the owner being here and reviewing it before this meeting.
Can we dismiss if we've
Well, we can find it as a fact and then move on in our lives.
Yes, you can dismiss.
Okay.
We can't dismiss. Okay, can we
do nothing
after the fact?
I apologize. You can dismiss.
Okay, is that Seamus?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so I stand with we to move to dismiss. We can vote against it if you want, but that's not been the practice.
Chairman, that's not been the practice in the past. Anytime we accepted the findings of fact, the conclusions of law, we've been told by prior assistant attorney general that we're not able at that point to dismiss cases. But the lowest form of discipline we could provide was a non-disciplinary letter of concern. All right, I'm sorry, disciplinary letter of concern. Has that changed? Has law changed?
Well, I don't want to upset your apple cart. So if you want to rescind the motion for the findings of fact and conclusions of law, you can. Again, though, it's your choice that how you dispose of this. So if you're going to dispose of it by a dismissal, I don't think it's necessary to adopt the findings of fact and conclusions of law.
That already has occurred.
So we can rescind it or we can. Yeah. I'll dismiss my motion. No one seconded it, so.
Mr. Chairman, maybe ask about history at this point since you've adopted findings of fact and conclusions of law.
Do we have history in this particular?
There is history. It's the letter of concern for inactive personal life. Nothing to do with that.
Okay. This is Member Flores. I would make a motion to impose a disciplinary letter of concern for licensee. Mailed and filed by Cindy, number SNT 18522, case number 98395. Good one, Glover, second.
And we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Nay. Goodman.
Knox. Nay. All right, so by majority, we're going to return the document that this happened.
Is this Ms.
You're already taking
care of it. This is Seamus Monahan from the Attorney General's office. We spoke a couple months ago.
Seamus, we can hear you.
We're going to stick there. This we don't find. And we appreciate how good you are.
Yes, and I appreciate the time and the understanding today. So I, again, wanted to make sure that we build up our community and that we don't, you know.
And we will be working on that. And we'll prevent place when you see it. You know that you
okay. So thank you so much.
All right. Next case is our case number 98431, Veronica Veronay, license 3210152, 1111 Beauty Bar. What testimony you give today will be truthful. And then state your name.
Veronica, you know name.
Okay. Are you on the complaint?
No, but I'm the owner of the salon.
Oh, wait. Okay. Well, let's deal with her because that's how it's written up. And if things get weird, then we'll clean it up. All right. So,
good morning, Mr. Bagley, members of the board. My name is Helen Bordelon. On July 27, 2023, I conducted an inspection of 1111 Beauty Bar located in Tucson, Arizona, which resulted in an unsatisfactory grade for the following reasons. Veronica Veronay, license number 3210152, was performing aesthetic services at the time of inspection without the board issuing an establishment license. Veronica stated that she was not the manager or the owner of the establishment. She only rented the room to provide services. The owner of 1111 Beauty Bar is not a licensed individual. At the time, I also discovered Gabby Gladys Castro was performing meal services, and she's also an unlicensed operator. There was also no manager working at the time of inspection. Now, on July 28th, 2023, Veronica was approved for an establishment license deed in and last bar. License number SAES23906, and it's valid until July 28th of 2024. As of today, we do not find a establishment license for 1111 Judy Bar. However, Veronica has obtained her own establishment license to rent that room. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to address them.
Okay. Do we have any questions of our investigator? Okay, so coming back to this, because I want to make sure we don't run around that. Our complaint here is only if you.
Correct.
So while you're here, we appreciate it. It's a different issue, so we need to stay over here.
Okay.
So in your case, and I just want to ask one quick question. So are you now renting a room? Is that what's happening? You're renting a room?
I rent a room.
In the room?
I rent a room in the business, correct.
Okay. All right.
I have had a salon license since 2019. I am fully licensed esthetician services only. Previous to renting in this room, probably like July, what is it dated? July 27th. I literally had just moved in a couple days previous to this. I was in the process during the 2019. I had been at different salons, two different salons that on a commission basis would be, I was working under their license, salon license. So I didn't have to transfer my salon license over, but when I came to where I'm at now, which is actually 3936 South 6th Avenue, it is not 111 as stated in the paperwork. I transferred over my salon license, so it was in the process of, you know, being transferred over. Helen did come in. I have no idea about the front of the business. That was not any of my concern. My only concern was where I rent my room. I locked that door at night because all of my equipment and, you know, inventory is in there. And so what was happening in front was not any of my concern, really. I just knew that I was in order. Now, I did go out because I heard Helen out there, and she basically just said that she would have to issue me the fine or the complaint, I guess, because I was the only one who was licensed in the building. So since then, you know, I mean, I don't know. Since then, the same for me, because I, you know, have my salon license just transferred over. My petition license is withstanding, and I've never had a complaint or anything.
I see that.
Okay.
Yeah. So, okay. So within this framework of what we're looking at today, that I think all we can ask. Would you say that was correct? You can't really deal with the structure of his business.
Correct.
We don't have a company. Correct. Interesting. All right. Very nicely done. Do we have any questions of your journey?
I think this is Marshall Knox. I think in a situation like this, it's similar to the salon suites, and go ahead and just as soon as she did everything she needed to do, she's within compliance of the evening. We need to be looking at the establishment or whatever.
Yeah, helping him get started, right? Yeah.
I think for a little over a second, so I'm going to the
second. Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All right.
Tracy? Oh, I'm sorry, I did not hear what the motion was. Just accepting?
No, we're just lifting a case. She already came into compliance. It's a shared facility. And her room is okay.
But I'd like to note, we should figure out something with this establishment license thing. But I accept.
Okay, thank you. All right, so unanimously you reach this case.
Okay.
Yeah, so. So you need to work on your things, but you know that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you got it. Yeah. All right, cool. Deal. Well, thanks for coming up.
Thank you.
Thank you for your support.
I'll never take the
blame. Thank you. All right, our next case is case number 98432, Occasion Hair and Nail Salon, FTOS 23237. Barbara Mendez, license number 17516446. Roxanne Nava, 189012 85
and Arlene Martinez, 10800441. Anybody here from there? Star 6, if you're online.
Arlene Martinez?
We're looking for Cajun Taryn Snail. Taryn?
Yeah, that's Arlene Martinez. I'm here.
Oh, yeah, Barbara Mendez. I'm here.
Okay. Roxanne Nava. I'm here.
All right, that's what we're looking for. Lady, do you swear or affirm the testimony you give today will be truthful?
Yes.
Yes.
Barbara Mendez, yes. Roxanne
Nava, yes. Nicely done, ladies. All right, we're going to have our investigator tell us what's going on here, and then we'll come back to you with questions.
Okay.
So,
good morning, Mr. Bagley, members of the board. My name is Helen Bordelon. On July 27th, I conducted an inspection of Octavian's Hair and Nail Salon located in Tucson, Arizona, which resulted in an unsatisfactory grade due to the following: co-owner Arlene Martinez, license number 10800441, was open and operating the establishment with an expired establishment license, SDOS 23237, expired on June 14th of 2021, over 2 years expired. As of today, the establishment license remains expired. If there's any other questions, I'll be happy to address.
The facility was
there were no sanitation lines.
All right, does the board have any questions for our investigator? All right, ladies, who's going to be your spokesman?
Arlene,
tell me what's going on. Why won't you guys get a license? What's up?
Okay, we just didn't renew the license. I think we were having financial troubles at first, and then we got a notice about it, so we did pay a fine, which I finished paying this year for $150. And the reason that I have not renewed the license is because I am no longer part of the salon. I work in the same establishment under a different owner, and they have their own salon license.
Okay. Are you guys a company? Are you guys work together, or
no? My name is Barbara Mendez, and I left that salon in 2015. My license had been my cosmetology license, my operator license had been lapsed for a while. I talked to Rosa Rodriguez about that, and she agreed with me. I gave her my my lapsed license money because it had lapsed for a year, and I paid her that. And she knows my that I left that salon in 2017. So I am not paying this. I am not a co-owner on this salon for a few years already, 5 years, 6 years, whatever. So I don't know why I got this notice.
All right. So how about Barbara? What's your story? Who is running this store?
As far as I know, I think Arlene is running the store. I have not been in contact with them since I left, and I retired from the salon. I mean, I'm 75 years old. I cannot work the salon anymore. So I haven't been there since 2017.
Okay. And this is Barbara?
Yes, this is Barbara.
Okay, I had you backwards. Okay.
This is Arlene. I don't run the salon. Like I said, I work in the same location under a different owner with a different name, and they have their own establishment license. When Helen did come in, I was working, and I was trying to make money to try and renew the license or decide to close, and I couldn't work the salon by myself since Roxanne Nava left the salon. And so I didn't know I was supposed to remove my name from the license. I am going to do that. but I just wanted to let you know that.
Okay. So.
Tracy Wilkinson here. Were you working in this space? Can you explain where this new space is and this new owner?
I was working on the day that Helen came in. This is Arlene. And I do still work at the same location, but I am no longer the owner. I don't need the occasions establishment license. The establishment has a different license under a different owner with a different name.
Do we have multiple establishment licenses at that address?
Yeah, is this a shared place where a bunch of people have rooms?
Salon suite or
Mr. Chairman and members of the board, this is Rosa Rodriguez. This is a salon that all three individuals are co-owners of the establishment. I talked to Roxanne and Barbara. They both indicated that they wanted to be removed from this ownership. But Ms. Martinez continued to state that she would be renewing this license because she wanted to continue working in that stuff. So I did tell him you need to submit something in writing stating that you want to be removed from this because according to the account, you know, they are still members or co-owners of the establishment and they are liable to whatever violations they find there.
Right.
Is there another establishment license at that same address? No.
Oh, good point.
We are seeing that to Ms. Rodriguez's point, they are all still listed as owners. So if they wish to no longer be owners of the establishment, they need to notify us of an ownership change, which we have not
realized from here out. But we still in this district share. So the question was valid. If it's just a single building, is there another salon registered at this building, licensed in this building?
And a new ownership.
A different guy.
We're asking if there's actually a license for that. I'm telling you that's
yeah, good. Arlene's working for somebody at that same location. Is that supersede what we're talking about here?
The board on July 27th, when I went out and conducted the inspection, it was just Arlene working in the salon under occasion pairing.
Right.
Now, if they've changed an ownership change or anything like that, we don't have any.
Did we know the name of the new salon? If there is one, we could look it up.
Mr. Chairman and members of the board, yes, there is. It's a Gia Hair and Lash, and it is licensed. It looks like they were licensed in August of yes, at the okay. Yes.
All right. So in the end, lady, you appear to have some sort of a common business that never got closed. And in the operation of your common business didn't get closed. And I recognize you all kinds of reasons why this is not what you want to hear here. But as far as our paperwork goes, you guys are still in business. And under that,
yes.
One of you violated the law, and all of you are liable. So,
yes, excuse me, sir, but I did send a letter. This is Barbara. I did send a letter stating that I was no longer going to be working there and that I was no longer a co-owner on that establishment. Right. I did send a letter stating that in 2016, 17, somewhere around there. So, I haven't been there. At all.
Okay. So you're saying you sent a letter years before this happened?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, in 2017.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't have any record of that. So
and the license had been renewed
after that,
every year after that.
Okay, so the license renewed after your letter would have come to us with your name still on it.
And if there is a change of ownership, we require a brand new application.
Yeah.
Not just a letter.
Oh, yeah, okay. I think not cleaning up your details.
Well, they told me that if I gave them some money, I think $100 or something like that, my name would be removed from the license. And I did give them $100 so they could remove my name from the license. Now, what happened from there on, I have no idea. I have not been in contact with them at all.
Did you pay by check or cash?
Check.
To the board?
And when?
No, not to the board. I gave it to the salon.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
That's not what you thought of it.
Well, and that sounds like that could be corporation commission or any other thing that's not within our purview.
Yeah.
The reality is just salon or establishment license, the establishment license with this board.
And it also seems like that establishment doesn't take this anymore. Maybe shouldn't have a license at all. Yeah, absolutely. It should have been notified that if it's not operating, we should have received a proper notification for that.
Okay.
All right. So ladies, does that make sense to you?
I'm sorry, are you speaking to me, Arlene?
In general, you guys have a three-way partnership that still exists as far as we are concerned, because there was nothing, at least at the time of its inspection, because nothing happened to make it be any different. So then when you had a violation, as far as legally, you guys are still in business together, even if you all decided you're not, because you didn't tell anybody but each other. So we don't really have a way to get you out of it.
Well, this is Barbara. I don't think I am going to do anything about this.
You're welcome to deal with it as you please. I'm just trying to give you an idea of what we're working with. We would like to find a way to save you, but you're not making it easy for us.
We've been, excuse me, this is Roxanne. Yep. And I had been talking to Rosa, and I talked to another member of the board, again, telling them that we've been trying to get this solved and resolved. And like you said, nothing has worked for us. And we've tried to dissolve this partnership, you know, and like I said, and now we've come to this point.
Yeah.
So I can tell you from the notes on the, Mr. Chair, members of the board, I can tell you from the notes on the file, she did in fact contact us to do that. But that happened in August, which I believe is after this inspection occurred.
Yeah. And yeah, we're not trying to make it hard on you. We're just stuck.
Right.
At the time of the infraction, you guys were still a partnership, and then you've been taking it apart since, which makes perfect sense. But we're having to deal with where we were at that time rather than where we wanted to be. So do you have anything else you want to add to this? I mean, you made your pick very clear, so I'm not sure what that would be. But if you have nothing less to add, we'll move into deliberation and try to figure out what to do about this.
Okay.
The board, do you have any questions of any kind?
Board chair, board members, this is AG Monahan. AG Monahan, would you like to entertain going to executive session to discuss this matter for legal advice?
They need that?
If you don't need it, that's fine. That's okay.
He's out.
Well, I guess, yeah. Somebody thinks there's a value in doing that. We can do that.
Only if you think it's of value. If you don't, that's okay. I apologize for
No, you're fine. It's good. We appreciate it.
How long can we go into executive session to discuss matter of
For legal advice.
Motion to go into executive session for legal advice. Everyone say aye.
Marshall Trustoff.
Okay, everyone say aye.
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 All right, we're going to go into executive session now. How that works, of course, is we have to close the room. We stop pulling people who are in the game.
But the board can go out. We can go out to a break. They don't have to leave or something. Tracy and AG used the meeting link that I sent for the later executive session. We can use that one for this one.
Got it.
And for clarity, Mr. Chair, who would you like from staff?
I guess that we need to make the
Okay.
I don't know what the link is.
Tracy, I emailed it to you.
We'll be back. We're
about an hour ago.
Get legal advice.
Okay.
All right. Good afternoon. We are coming back from, or excuse me, good morning. It's still morning. We are coming back from executive session. I need to confirm that Chase, Tracy, and AAG Moynihan have been able to rejoin us.
Okay, Mrs. Hey,
I'm here. I heard Seamus and Chase. Did I hear Tracy?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm okay. Here.
With, thank you, guys. With that, Mr. Chair, I'll turn it
back. All right. So we're coming back in session. Again, on case number 98432, having sought legal advice, we now have board is needing to express. Do we have a motion regarding the case number 98432 and sorting this thing out a little bit?
Member Guzman Glover moved to dismiss Barbara Mendez and Roxanne Nava from the case.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Second, Marshall Knox.
All right. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. Ms. Mendez, Ms. Nava, you've been excused from the case. You're no longer a part of this case. We appreciate your participation. And as we've gained understanding, we're of the opinion that we're not involving you in this. So thank you for your time.
Thank you.
All right, that brings us back to Ms. Martinez. Do we have any need for additional information from the board of investigator or Ms. Martinez regarding this? And level out. Okay. Then let's look at a deliberation in this regard. So do we have questions among the board or discussion about the points of this case? Anything interesting?
Motion in case Ms. Marshall Knox in case number 98432 that we accept the finding impact finding facts and conclusions of law. The investigation report.
We have a second. Motion and second. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. So we agree this happened. Do we have an order, a motion for an order of discipline this time? Anyone?
I move that based on the findings of fact and conclusions of law, we take the following disciplinary action. The fine of $500 for being 2 years out of date on her establishment license. Sorry, and
I guess the motion is already been made, so I can't.
Yeah. Did Tracy, do you want to add something else? You said and.
Sorry, I'm looking through my tape. I would like to do the 12-month probation to see that everything's figured out.
Brandon, you seconded it.
Yeah, Brandon said seconded it.
All right, so we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, unanimously we agree. This is the mask. We recognize this is a high fine for where the situation is, but at the time of the infraction, exactly what was going on. So we'll send paper out to Ms. Martinez for you to review with the consent agreement, and you can act upon it, or you can request a formal hearing if you prefer. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Sorry, ladies. Sorry with this mess. Enjoy your lives. Our next case is case number 98436, Christopher Cash, 118-00043, Cash Fade Salon. That's not much of a salon. And Christopher Cash, either here or on the phone. Star 6 to unmute.
I'm here.
Gang, gang, Christopher Cash, is that you?
Yes.
Oh, good. All right. So, Mr. Cash, do you swear or affirm the testimony you give today will be truthful?
I do.
State your name, please.
Christopher Cass.
Thank you. We're going to have our investigator review this case with us. We'll ask her questions, and then we'll come back to you and ask you questions, okay?
Okay.
Thank you. That's where I'm.
Good morning, Mr. Banks and members of the board. My name is Helen Bordelon. On August 4th, 2023, I conducted an inspection of Cache Bay located in Casa Grande, Arizona, which resulted in an unsatisfactory grade due to the following. Christopher Cash was open and operating in an unlicensed establishment. He stated that he had been in that establishment for 4 years. When I entered into the establishment, as you can see by the photo, there was an animal in the salon. And when I opened the door, he became very aggressive. I asked if this dog was a service animal, and Mr. Cash stated that he was not a service animal, but the dog had separation anxiety from him, so he brings him into the salon. I feel that's a safety issue. If you have any other further questions, I will be happy to address them.
How was the rest of the salon as far as sanitation?
It was fine.
Fine. Okay. Does it go questions to our investigator? Hearing no response. Mr. Cash, you had a chance to review this complaint. Mr. Cash?
Yes.
Have you had an opportunity to review the complaint?
I did.
Okay, so you understand the basic 2 points. Can you explain the licensing question to me and explain then the animal question?
For sure. I'd like to start off by thanking you guys for your time. I want to make it clear that the complaints being placed upon me, they were not deliberate in my doing. I was not aware of either complaint. When I was in school, I don't believe I was ever informed of the rules of running a shop. Most students don't open a shop right out of school, so I don't know if they emphasize on knowing the rules of opening up a shop.
Sure.
And then as far as the dog is concerned, that also wasn't deliberate. The dog does have anxiety issues. One of the reasons why I even brought the dog to my establishment was that she jumped out of my second story window and broke the glass. So I like to acknowledge that now I've corrected the behavior and she doesn't feel a need to jump out of windows anymore, fortunately. So, yeah, good. So,
good.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, and although I was in violation, unknowingly, I felt like bringing her was beneficial. Like I said, I was able to correct the behavior. So I take responsibility for my actions. However, as I mentioned earlier, they weren't deliberate. And so I asked for leniency from the board, and I believe that's all I have to say about that.
Okay. Are you currently open, sir?
Yeah.
Okay. And have you secured an establishment license now?
Yeah.
Yes, I have.
Okay. So we got through that, and then you paid fines when you got your license for operating? No? It wasn't a renewal, was it? It was a new one. Okay, so you didn't pay any fines when you got your license because it was a new establishment?
Right. Had I been aware of the establishment license, I would have paid the money. I wouldn't have let it slide sure. Like I did.
Sure, sure. Okay, do we have any questions to Mr. Cash?
Mr. Cash, Tracy Wilkinson here. When you opened your business 4 years ago, was it right out of school? How did you research opening your business?
No, so after school, I bounced around a few shops, three that I remember before I opened my own shop. So I was pretty green as far as what I needed to do. And I feel like the way I was taught, you gotta be out in the on the field for a little while before you open up your own establishment. I know a lot of young kids they, no disrespect to them, but a lot of them want to jump into owning a shop right out of school. And I feel like I personally was able to learn how to, the good ways and bad ways of running my own shop. I don't think I would have been successful if I would have jumped into a, running a shop right out of school, but that's just my opinion.
And so do you just not do research on it for the type of licensing?
I should have done more research. I'll admit that now.
Okay. Any other questions from the board?
Quick question. Is this more like a salon suite or is this a barbershop? You got other employees with you?
Well, I have a cosmetology license, but I have predominantly male clients. So I treat it as a barbershop. I've had apprentices as well. And I'm attempting to register another one if I haven't already done so. So I believe I have to correct issues before I move forward with that.
So you're doing training apprenticeship programs with the state BDM guys?
Yes, I've had two or three so far.
And they never asked you if you had a license?
No, never did.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So any other questions from the board?
I do have a question. I don't know who to address with the board, but the apprenticeship program, who for DES, aren't they checked to make sure that?
Yeah, we typically receive a weekly list. Mr. Chair, Member Knox, we typically receive a weekly list of applicants for conducting apprenticeship programs in local salons, and we approve, we confirm that they're licensed and in good standing. It wasn't a part of this case, so we certainly didn't research that. But yes, the process is they send us a weekly list and we confirm and ensure that that location is licensed and in good standing.
If I can add,
board member, I recently met with DES. They have brand new staff and we just reiterate that they need to make sure that the establishment license is current as well. They did reiterate with us that they have many people who are, quote, doing apprenticeships that are not in compliance with their regulation as well.
If I may add, the two apprentices that I had never finished, so they didn't get to completion.
Okay.
But before they started, they should have technically. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, you think so. All right. Do we have a motion regarding my spirit?
I move that we accept the findings of the fact and conclusions of law.
I second it.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, so unanimously agree that's happened, and we have a motion regarding an order of discipline with that.
I have another question about the dog situation, just for the board, I guess. There is the rule that we are not allowed to have animals in our salon.
Yes.
Unless they are helper dogs, but there is no clear way of checking whether it's a helper dog, correct?
Yes.